We want to turn your attention to a statement that Paul made in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. In the latter part of this particular chapter, we find here, as Paul does in so many of the epistles that he wrote, just giving some general admonitions to the saints there at Ephesus. He urges them to speak the truth to everyone, and that they should not let the sun go down upon their wrath. And then he makes a statement there in verse 27. He says, nor give place to the devil. We want to talk about that this morning. And as we read this particular text, we see that it suggests unto us that Satan wants to gain a place in our life. He wants to gain some kind of foothold within our life. And it is our duty as children of God to make sure that he doesn't do that. To make sure with all of our being, with all of our power, that he doesn't find that place. And just as God dwells in his children by the word which he has given, and that word directs the lives of us as children of God, just as God does that, we also find that Satan dwells in man through the sin that man has committed. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we find John, as he writes there concerning Satan and concerning sin, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Those who sin, John says, by inspiration of the devil, and that's the way the devil abides in an individual, it is by the sin that we commit, because he sinned from the very beginning. And we see that the reason that the Son of God was manifested or made known was so that he might destroy the works of Satan or the works of the devil. For the time that we have, let us note this morning several things about this place that Satan seeks in our life. And ask the question as we go through this particular study, are we doing everything that we can to stop him from having that place? Or are we giving him an opportunity to live in us, and so living in us to direct our lives rather than God to direct our lives? Satan seeks this place. He's looking for it. Satan is continually seeking some kind of opening in our life where he can come in and where he can abide there, where he can, as we might say, take up residence. Any kind of small opening, any kind of crack, any kind of weakness that we have, Satan is going to explore it. Anything, any kind of doorway. He knows that he can gain an advantage over us if he finds a way to get into our life. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, we find again Paul writing by inspiration, lest Satan should take advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has devices. Satan has and uses means whereby he will cause us to sin, whereby he can find that particular place. He seeks that area in our life where we are the weakest. And we all have weaknesses. We all have strengths, but we all have weaknesses in our life. And he is the individual that wants to exploit those. He wants to use them. He wants to cause us to sin. I think it needs to be pointed out here that for us as Christians, and in reality, Satan is a real personality. He does exist. Now, the people in the world, those who are caught up in the things of the world, those who are caught up in modern thinking and philosophies, would have us to believe that Satan does not really exist, that he's some kind of superstition, that he is something there to make us do those things that are right. But Satan is real. He is a personality, and he wants to destroy us. And he is going to find those weaknesses in our life so that he can find a way. Now, for one individual, it may be that they are a person that has a short fuse. They get angry real quick. Satan's going to use that. He's going to use that as a weakness within you to try to find that place. With others, it may be lust. With others, it may be pride that they're very full of themselves. Satan's going to use that because that is a weakness. With others, it may be material possessions. And in our society in which we live, there is a great emphasis upon material possessions and the having of the things in this life. And if we become individuals that have to have these things, and we put that first, then Satan's going to find a way in our life. With others, it may be family. We all love our family. We all love those that are close to us. But if we put them above God, then Satan's going to find a way. He's going to use that against us. With others, it may be pleasure or dishonesty, or jealousy, or wrath, or hatred. One of these things may be a weakness in our life. Satan's going to find it, and Satan's going to use it. We should not be ignorant of his devices. We should know that he wants this place within us. He is our adversary, Peter says. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we are warned there to be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is a good description of Satan. Because what he wants to do is he wants to devour us. He wants to eat us alive. He is our adversary. And just as he had a desire for Peter, he had a desire for us. Over in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, we find that Christ gives a warning unto Peter there, and he tells Peter that Satan wants to sift you like wheat. You know what we do when we sift wheat? We take away those impurities from the things that we want to use. But Satan wanted to do this with Peter's faith. He wanted to put it through the grind. He wanted to see what Peter was made of. And he found this place within Peter. And he has that same desire for all men. He had that desire for Eve and Adam in the very beginning. He wanted to find that weakness, and he did. He wanted to take Job and try Job and do everything that he possibly could to him to cause him to sin in the sight of God. With Ananias and Sapphira over in the New Testament, we find there again he used money. That was their weakness, and he caused them to sin. He even desired Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, we see there the temptations that were placed before Christ. He thought that he had Christ at a time of weakness, time after he had fasted for 40 days. And certainly we would be weak during that time, weak physically. But he perhaps thought he found a weakness spiritually with Christ. And he tried Christ. He has devices. And he uses these devices in order to gain a place in the life of each and every one of us. And we must be sober. We must be on our guard. Satan is a cunning fisherman, we might say. As I was growing up, I was always kind of, I guess I can use the word jealous, of my cousins. They were good fishing. They knew what bait to put on a hook. They knew what time of the day to fish. Of the weather conditions. They knew what lure to put on the line to attract a certain fish. I never could do that, but they could. Satan is a very cunning fisherman. Satan knows how to bait his hook. He knows what's going to lure you. He knows where your weaknesses are. And he is going to use everything that he has. Deceptions, trials, and temptations to find a place in your life. Satan seeks that place. He wants that. A thing that we also note concerning this is that this place, this spot in our life that he gains, is something that is given to him. We give it to him. The only place that Satan can gain in man is that place that we give to him, that we open up and he comes in. Just as God does not overpower us and cause us to do those things that are good and right in his sight. Neither does Satan overpower us and cause us to do those things that are evil. You know, Cliff Wilson many years ago used to say, well, you know, the devil made me do it. Well, in a certain extent, the devil does. But the devil couldn't do that without our consent for him doing it. Man does evil. And in doing evil, he gives a place to Satan, because that's what man chooses to do. So we must remain steadfast in the faith. We must resist him. We must run from him if need be. There again, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9 this time, we find that Peter writes, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He says, resist Satan. Stand against him. Stand fast in the faith. And that's the only hope that we have of resisting Satan. In James 4 and verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here is the way that we resist him. Here is the way that we keep him at bay. That is by resisting the things that he would have us to do. To stand fast in the faith. To submit ourselves unto God. Man has been given the responsibility to resist Satan. This is what God wants us to do. This is the choice that we make. That is the responsibility that we have. We have been given the power to overcome Satan, but it's only in Jesus Christ. You and I cannot stand against Satan alone. We cannot stand against his temptations all by ourselves and come out victorious. The only victory we have is in Jesus Christ. The history of mankind has shown how weak man is and how he yields to Satan. And the only hope of salvation that we have in this resisting is in Christ. We have that responsibility. We don't have the power to overcome him, but we have the power through Jesus Christ. So we abide in Christ. Every one of us has the power to overcome Satan. Man is able to endure any temptation that comes his way. Any temptation that comes our way, we are able to overcome it. We can have the strength not to give in to it, but in these temptations, to overcome them and be pleasing in the sight of God. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. We sometimes might think, well, nobody's ever faced what we face. It's common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And there's comfort in that, isn't it? What you're able to bear, you won't be tempted above that. But with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. So that you may be able to bear through this and be pleasing in the sight of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to escape temptation without suffering. But we are going to escape it without sin. God has given us this power. We are able to escape that. We're able to bear up under the temptation. Another thing that we need to know concerning this resisting Satan is in the fact that with most things, the earlier we learn resistance, the better and the stronger the resistance is going to be throughout our life. Because we gain habits. We gain those things in our life that we automatically do. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn to resist Satan and do what God says from our very early age. And the earlier we learn it, the better off we're going to be. One of the things that amazed me is that when we moved to Cluj, my children and I tried to learn Spanish. They learned twice as fast as I did. I don't know what it was. I don't think they're twice as smart as I am. But they learned twice as fast. They picked it up because they hadn't formed bad habits or habits that they couldn't get out of. And they learned the language a whole lot faster than I did. This is what happens with resistance to Satan. When we learn it early, it becomes a part of our life. That means there's a responsibility that you and I have as parents to teach our children how to resist Satan, to give them the tools whereby they can do that. Help them in that. Remember their Creator in the days of their youth. We need to learn to resist Satan, because once we give him this place in our life, it's hard to get him out. It's hard to root him out of there. Once this place is gained, it is something that grows. Once Satan has this place in your life, however he may have gotten there, that place is going to begin to expand to other parts of your life. And the reason for this is that sin begets more sin. In 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, we find there an example of what we're talking about, of David and Bathsheba. How that David didn't go out at that particular season to war as it was the time for battle, but he decided to stay home. And as he was on the roof of his house one night, he saw this woman bathing. And in this, lust was aroused within him. He called for this woman and she came. And they committed adultery. And in this adulterous act, we see what it led to. That it led to finally the death, or we might even say the murder, of Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. One thing led to another. The place was given for lust. It led to adultery. It led to drunkenness. It led to murder. David perhaps thought he got away with it, but Nathan pointed this out. He did not. God knew about it. But the point is, the place of sin grew more and more in the life of David. And this, the reason is, I believe so many times, is that sin is not simply an action. It is an action. We transgress the law of God. But it also involves an attitude that we have. That we've set aside what God wants us to do, and we have decided, I'm going to do what I want to do. And because of that, it expands, it grows in our life. It leads from one thing to another. Have you ever noticed an individual who's told a lie? And in order to cover up that first lie, they have to tell another lie. Because if they don't tell another lie, it might be that they're exposed. And one lie leads to another lie. Perhaps we've seen this in children. You know, they don't want to face the truth. They don't want to face the consequences of their actions, so they'll lie. And they'll be asked about it later. And they'll have to lie again or be exposed. One leads to another. That's the way sin is in our life. And when we take that kind of an attitude, then resistance is going to be weakened within each and every one of us. Sin will blind a person, and it will harden their hearts to the truth. It'll cause them to harden themselves against that which they ought to do. Because of this, sin then begins to feed upon itself. It begins to grow in itself. Hebrews 13:3. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's a deceitfulness about sin. And this is what Satan wants to gain. The whole he wants to gain in our life is that sin. That we can become hardened to. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If there is a sin in our life that we permit, that we do not condemn and strive to get rid of, then Satan has been given a perfect opportunity to take up residence in our hearts and in our lives. And as long as we keep that sin there, he is going to stay. We need to try to get rid of it. We need to rid that place in our lives and in our hearts so that we can resist him. We can turn and do those things pleasing in the sight of God. Another thing concerning this place that Satan wants in us is that it is a distracting place. It diverts interest. It diverts attention from the more important things in our life. When sin begins to take that place, it begins to have that residency in our life, we begin to have a tendency to major in minors. We have a tendency then to begin to make secondary things of greater importance. We cause spiritual things to suffer at the cost of material things. We begin to major in minors. Brings to mind a group of people that I know. And they, because of sin that they allowed to remain in their midst, they begin to do this exact thing. They begin to major in those things that were minor. There was carnality in that group. Carnality in the way of adultery and fornication and immorality and immodesty that they overlooked. They did not correct. But because of that, I believe they begin to emphasize the things that were of less importance. They begin to major in minors. And one of those minors was that they would argue with you all day long about the use of the word Christian, how that it should and should not be used. It was to such an extent you could not say that someone had a Christian home or a Christian husband or Christian wife. It could not be used in any way to describe something because the Bible didn't use it in that way. And they went to such extent that they took their songbook and wherever they found that word used in that way, they marked through. They just simply would not use it. They would argue with you all day long concerning how you use the word gospel. That again, it wasn't, you can't use it in the sense of a gospel meaning. Or how that, whether you're supposed to capitalize the word, the letter C in church, Church of Christ. This they held up as a badge of faithfulness and soundness. And yet all the while, they let immorality run rampant in the congregation. They overlooked those sins, and they majored in minors. This is something that this what sin will do. It will distract. It will cause those things of less importance to be very important. It diverts attention from the heavenly things to those things that are earthly. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. It causes us to become selfish. It causes us to lose interest in God. Helping others, we place on the back burner. We don't think about it. We think about ourselves. All because sin has taken this place in our life. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. We find Paul writing, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your souls may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Paul said, perhaps this is what had happened unto them. Eve's interest was diverted from God's will to her own. Remember when the serpent approached her in the very beginning? She said there, God said we can't do it. But as she looked, she forgot about God's will and thought about what she wanted, and she gave in to the temptation. It's that same way with us. That same place that Satan seeks in our life. He wants us to be diverted from the will of God. Think of also the thorny soil that is found in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. It's a good example of giving a place unto Satan. How that the word of God was sown in this kind of ground, and as it sprang up, though, it was choked. It was choked by the cares of the world. Those things became more important. It was choked by the riches that were found in the world. The deceitfulness of riches. Now, riches are things that we need. Physical possessions are things that we need in order to survive, but they became more important to this individual and the pleasures of life. Satan found that place in this soil. He expanded upon it and caused worldly things then to have a priority over those things that are spiritual. This is what he wants to do with each and every one of us. He's looking for that place where he can come and he can abide. This place also brings destruction. It brings about destruction to each and every one. As we said, Satan is our adversary, and he seeks whom he may devour. That word devour is a very interesting one, because it means to drink down, to gulp, to entirely gulp something or drink it down. To devour or drown or swallow up. And that's what Satan wants to do with us. Reminds me sometimes, you've seen them on these nature shows of where it'll show some kind of little reptile and it'll be eating and the tongue lashes out and grabs whatever it's eating. And it's like that. They're gone. They have to slow the film down in order to see it. That's what Satan wants to do with us. That's how he wants to devour us. He wants to eat us alive. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy us spiritually. And if he can do it physically, he'll do that also. He doesn't care for us, except what harm he might be able to bring to our lives. And this place that we give unto Satan in our lives becomes bigger, and it becomes more destructive. And when we give place to him, and when we serve him, we can be sure that we will share in his faith, that we're going to end up exactly where he did. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 says there that the individual that is on the left hand, they will be told, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This place that Satan seeks in our life, it's not something that is insignificant, because once we allow him that foothold, he is going to destroy us. He is going to bring about a destruction in our life that is going to be eternal. Many people, Christians included, view life as being no real fun unless every once in a while you allow a little vice, a little sin, to bring some kind of an enjoyment, just every once in a while. We've heard the statement, you know, a little sin really never hurt anybody. Or let that individual sow their wild oats while they're young, and they can change it later. Usually they don't do that, because they set in their life habits, because they've given place to sin just a little bit. Once he has gained that small place in our life, and that place is given to him by us through the sin that we commit, it's ever going to grow bigger and bigger until finally it destroys us. What God says is obey him and resist the devil. The only way, the only power that we have to resist him is in Jesus Christ. He is the one that has overcome Satan. We can't do it by ourselves. We may do it every once in a while and not yield to temptation. Sooner or later, he's going to find that weakness in each and every one of us. The only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. Resist the devil. Obey God. If you're here this morning and not in Christ, you're sooner or later, if you have not already, sinned and separated yourself from God. Satan's going to find that place. Don't give him the place. You have a choice. You have the option. You've been given the power to resist. Why not take that power? He doesn't want to help you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy you. He may give the appearance as being your friend, but he's not. God is our friend. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary so that we might live. Won't you accept the invitation of Christ? The song has been selected. We pray that your answer this morning will be an affirmative response to that invitation. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song?